Joppa or Tarshish and got Paul to come over and help him. And later on, when they made their first missionary journey, and from then on, that was the city that Paul went out from and came back into. And it was there that people were first called Christians. And I feel I'm a Christian. Even though I'm not perfect, those people probably weren't perfect, but they were Christians. And we're becoming more Christ-like every day, aren't we? Don't you believe that? How long have you been here? Don't you believe you're more like Jesus than you used to be? If you're not, shame on us. Shame on us. But we are. So I'm glad to be called a Christian. I call myself a Christian. I didn't come in here. I came in 1973. So I've been here, what would that make? 36 years. Surely to goodness, I'm further along than I was when I came in after 36 years. More like Christ than I used to be, Brother Weiniger. Although I'm not totally like him, I understand that. But the people that they gave that name to probably weren't perfect overcomers. But they did have the faith in their heart. And they were Christians. So I'm glad to be in this fellowship meeting. Glad for every good thing that you're accomplishing here in this city. And we hope Brother Smith, I know he's busy. He's a busy man. He's got a lot to, he's working, he's got a big job for God. God's got him all harnessed up. I've wondered sometime if he don't need some salve, put on some of them harness rubs that he's got on. He's got one here and there and up yonder and over here and down here. He's a busy man. But he's yoked up with the Lord. And God knows what Little Rock needs. I believe that. I believe God knows what people need. He gives you the kind of He gives you the kind of man you need in your life. And if God set him here, which I just believe he did, if that's what, you know, that's how it is, that's how it is, and that's a good thing. But God is, y'all have been privileged. I don't know how y'all exactly, how did y'all rate this? Y'all have always had a leader over you. Y'all that good? Some churches got to take a little guy that's barely, you know. But some churches, Brother Tucker was here. I don't know that he was the first minister, but he was a great leader among us. I remember listening to Brother Tucker talk in the meetings, and they threshed about the Word of God, and he was a leader among us. And then at his death, Brother Leninger became the overseer of this church, who was also a great man. And he was a leader. He was a man who threshed on the threshing floor. He gave us many truths in our hearts, many things in our hearts. Sometimes I talk about Brother Leninger in our church. I'm trying to plant these men that had those good things in their heart in the hearts of our people. Amen. One of the things that I so appreciate that Brother Leninger said, it seems like a little thing, but it's changed my whole outlook on life. And that Brother Leninger said, there's two kinds of people. He said it depends whether you go on with God and do good depends on whether you respond or whether you react. He said if you respond to the problems in lives and hard things, hardships God lets come your way, he'll perfect your soul. But if you react, if you fight back, if you render evil for evil, you'll never make the grade. So he said it's how you respond to what comes your way in life. Amen. We all have things come our way that we want to respond to it, don't we? Say, Lord, let me learn and get the best out of this. All flesh is as grass, and the lust of the flesh is as the flower of grass that fadeth away. And if I do get into a situation where that really the perplexed situation may subside and go away or fall away after a while, God help us to get the good, just like the cow that eats the grass, and then it turns to milk, and then they churn the milk and it turns to butter. Amen? And then we want the butter and the honey, don't we? And then when the flower, right in the very bloom of what you feel through your experience, that you may be flourishing, God may have to teach us a lesson. That'll be gone after a while, but if we learn something out of it, amen, like the honeybee sticks his what's he got? It sticks that he's got something that sucks that nectar out of there, sucks that nectar out of that flower and flies away and takes that part of that, and after a while that flower dies, that grass is gone, all that experience is dissipated and gone. But those who are wise are going to be the people who learn something out of the things that they've gone through in life. That's what it said in the Psalms about Jesus. Amen. He did eat butter and honey that he might know how to choose the good and reject the bad. Amen. And it's the experiences that people have lived in here. Sometimes even through our mistakes and our faults, we thought we were doing good until we fell on our face. But if we learn something out of it, praise God, and get it in our hearts, and then we can teach other people by our mistakes. And what we learn can be butter and honey for other people. And they can learn, don't go where I went and do what I done and act like I did. Praise God, don't go that away. And if we can learn that, we can learn that.
What's up, Miller?
Yes.
A lot of people didn't understand Brother Liniger in that statement. You know, they'd say, respond and react means the same thing.
Oh, no.
They wasn't getting what he was saying.
No. Right.
And
when pressure comes, a lot of people, they begin to tense up, and they begin to give in to their flesh. And it isn't long, they're acting just like the people that brought the pressure on them. Or the experience. It may not be people. It can just be an experience in life. It can be something. But if we can learn to just drop our hands, that's been hard for me. You know that. I've recognized it in myself. But I began years ago to try to quit fighting and learn how to drop my hands and say, God, let me learn out of this something that will save my soul and maybe make me a better person that can help other people. Amen. That's the nectar that you suck out of that experience. Most people, I'll be honest with you. Listen to what he said. All flesh is as grass, and the lust of the flesh is as the flower of grass that fadeth away. We know those are things that fall away. We engage into things that we think floats our boat sometimes. We think it really makes us something. But after a while, it's gone. It leaves us in a downcast and a defeated spirit if we didn't learn anything out of it. If we didn't respond and learn something from that, we just went through it. We're just suffering for foolishness' sake, James said. But if we get something out of it, let me give you an experience. Right after I got in church, I decided I wanted a new Dodge. I wanted a better pickup. So I decided one day, I saw this beautiful club cab Dodge truck. And so I called Janita on the phone. She's my secretary. She managed our $100 or two that we had in them days. I said, I found a truck I really like, and I said, I think I'm going to buy it. She said, what is it? I said, it's a club cab Dodge truck. Beautiful. I said, it's a beautiful thing. She said, we can't afford that. I said, well, God don't talk to women much anyway. Well, all flesh is as grass. Here's what I'm showing you. Amen? That was just my grass right there. I was just grazing in the flesh is what I was doing. So I went and I bought that truck. It's air conditioned, had a back seat, front seat, club cab. Boy, all I was used to driving was rolls can hardly. You know, automobiles that rolled down hills and could hardly get up them. That's all I ever drove in life. But I finally decided to get me something nice. So I bought this truck. Did you know I no more than bought that truck, God began to really deal with my heart to move to Wilburton and start a church there. Well, I had this truck and had these payments. I mean, we just got it. We moved to Wilburton. And, you know, being the intelligent preacher that I am, I landed a good job as a janitor at the school. There's nothing wrong with that. Nothing wrong, as long as you're making an honest dollar for an honest wage, there's nothing wrong with it. So I went to working as a janitor at the school, but I needed more money to make my truck payment. So I asked the school if they'd give me the garbage out of the dining room, you know, lunch room at the evening. So there would be three or four big plastic containers of garbage. So I went and bought me some hogs, but built me a pen behind my dad's barn and got me a bunch of hogs, and I was picking up garbage every evening. My feed was free, and the hogs were growing, and I was in the flower. I was in the flower, brother. I was in the bloom. This is what I think that means. Brother Kennedy come back telling what Brother Watson said. I'm not totally for sure what all Brother Watson said. I think I got most of it. I've been teaching this for years. I was in the flower of my bloom. big bunch of hogs, fixing to sell them, make a good bit of money. All the feed was free. Things was going good. One evening I parked my truck there, and it was on a hill there behind my dad's, and Dad and I was down behind the barn, and I was getting those containers of garbage out of the back of the truck, and I went to dump one of them in the hog trough, and I heard something go clink, 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 clink. And I looked, and my new Dodge truck was going down the hill. And it just kept getting, and I run and jumped out of the hog pen and took off after it. And my dad said, "Son, don't jump in there." The door was open on the driver's side, but it wasn't running, so you couldn't, it had power steering and everything, power brakes, everything. You don't stop them good if you ain't got the engine running. So I went to jump in, and Daddy, he said, "Don't get in that. Don't jump in there." And it was headed for that fence. You know where that fence is, run down behind the barn? I stopped, and my new Dodge truck went through that barbed wire fence, wire busted, went down, hit some trees, and the last I seen it is upside down, all four wheels, looking straight up at the sun. And there's a ditch down there, and it landed, believe this or not, the cab landed right in the ditch. And the bed was on one side, and the hood was on the other, and it looked like this. So I called the wrecker, and the guy come down, and I said, "You've got to get it out where I can drive it if we can." He said, "Hey, man." He said, "I tell you what, you tie on to your truck, and we'll dump it out of there and drag it out. But I ain't tying on to it if you want it to still be running." So I crawled down in there and tied on to it, and the wrecker pulled it up out of there and skidded it out in the open. And I got some butter and honey out of that lesson. So when people come to counsel with me about buying an automobile that I knew they couldn't afford, this old boy right here could just fill them full of honey and fill them full of butter, because I done lived the dream. I done been there.
Hey, you kept driving that truck.
I drove it for, and I'd go down the road. I wanted to take back roads, but couldn't. And of course, it was bowed this way in the ditch, but when we flipped it over, it was bowed like this. And its rear end was here, and the hood was here. And so I drove it because I didn't have the money to buy anything else. Finally sold it to Debbie's husband, Sonny. Sold it. Remember that? Do you remember that? Was you old enough to remember that?
Watch out
what you buy, boy. Yeah. That's just one. And this, in most people, they won't give you these experiences where they goofed up bad in life. They got their text ready, everything's fixed, they go up with their pulpit oral etiquettes, they got every little verse, everything's ready. They don't never make a mistake or anything. But in here, we learn, we preach our experience. We preach the life we live. That's what we do. That's all of our messages.
What did Sister Sutmiller say?
Well... I really don't remember. I don't think she cussed or anything. I don't think she did that at all. But I don't think she was very pleased with me either. So all down through my Christian experience, and yours too, don't let the day go by and let valuable lessons slip away from you. Brother, you know what made Brother Clyde Patton so interesting to listen to? He carried a little tablet in his pocket. And all day long, when he would encounter something that was unusual, you'd see him pull it out and write some notes. And that night, if you traveled with him, you'd hear him probably talk on that. And it would be so interesting, because he ministered to people what life is really about. You know, that's what people want to hear. They ain't so interested in a big flamboyant message. They want something that gets down to, how can I live a better Christian life? How can I be a better saint in the body of Jesus Christ? How can I be a person that pleases God better with my life? That's what I want in my life. I believe that's what we want as a people. That's what we've been taught. And so, anyway, it's a good life if you don't weaken. Amen. Praise God. Are you bound? Once in a while, I ask the church, people can sit, and I don't think you are, but you might try yourself. Not just try it. Shout a little bit. He said, well, I've got to be spiritual to do it. Well, you got to start in the flesh. If you're not spiritual already, you got to start where you're at. Don't you? Some people say, I wouldn't dance. I wouldn't dance. I've got to have the Holy Ghost all over me. Praise God. You know, Brother Tucker said, hey, Bible said to dance before the Lord. He didn't say you had to be out in the Spirit to do it. You know, you got to start where you're at. Amen. So I worship the Lord. I love Him. I feel free today. I don't feel bound. I don't feel bound and intimidated by people. Praise God. I feel like God got His hand on my life. I ain't an overcomer or anything, but I'm happy where I'm at. I'm happy with this body of people. I'm happy with the message that's in my life. I'm happy with you all. I just love being here with you today. Praise God. I'm going to eat up your groceries in a minute. You already got to hear Brother Smith preach to us today. Sister Cindy sang us those good songs. Woo, God's got His hand on you, don't He, girl? I remember when you was just a little thing. You know, I could tell you some things about them you probably don't know. Huh? Let me tell you one of the things I really appreciate about Brother Michael and Sister Cindy. Let me tell you something. When he dated Cindy, I don't know how all of her standards all together, but Brother Michael set a set of standards for her to live by. I remember it. He told her there's certain things that she needed to do. And she didn't want to do all of them. I remember that part too. But I tell you what, I remember you were obedient enough, you did it. Didn't he? Didn't he lay out a set of standards? I remember it. Huh? When you were dating, he told her. And Cindy did it. She did it. Look at them today. God's got His hand on their life. Man, there ain't nothing wrong with wanting the best. There ain't nothing wrong with wanting what's right. Amen. It's a good thing. And I've never forgot that. I have never forgot that. I thought, he's one man that was brave enough to say it before he got her. That's what most men ought to do. Instead of waiting till you get her, think you got her. Sometimes you might not have them if you lay them down later, but try it first. Man, if you want to date a girl, tell her, hey, are you going to live the standards that the body teaches? You going to live what's taught in our local assembly? You going to quit going to a certain place? You going to start dressing a certain way? You going to testify once in a while in church and get up and tell about the goodness of the Lord? You going to try to learn a new song maybe and sing a song in church? What are you going to be to me? Are you going to help me? Are you going to be a helpmate? Let's go. Get in the saddle. Let's go. Huh? I didn't do it that way. I married Janita. She's good. I thank God I have her. I wouldn't trade her for no other woman. I know everybody. No, everybody don't. But I know a lot of people feel that way about their wives. But when I married her, she showed a lot of leg. She did. We went into Tulsa Church. And I began to see how this people dressed. I wanted to fit. I wanted to be where I'm at today. 36 years ago, I wanted to be where I am today. I wanted to still be with y'all and still love this way and be preaching the gospel and talking to people about serving God and getting in here and going all the way and don't back up, praise God. That's what I wanted. And I wanted my wife to be that way. And I had plenty to work on. Don't think she didn't, buddy, she didn't cut me no slack either. And she liked West Country and Western music. I said, that damnable stuff, that'll damn your soul. She said, it will. I said, it will. I said, that's horrible. That's horrible stuff. It's heavy. All that stuff. I said, we ain't gonna do that. Well, she'd play it during the day when I was gone. There's one day she was standing at the sink listening to Tammy Wynette sing. D-I-B-O-R-C-E. You know what? God spoke to her heart that day. He said, what is there about this that's anything like me? And she got convicted. And she walked over and turned the radio off. And as far as I know, from that day to this, she's never listened to another country and gospel our country and western station. She cut it off. We cut those things out. We got rid of that. Well, she had too much leg. Now, I love my wife, and I don't like men staring at her. So I said, look, we got to do better in life. I'll get rid of my chrome toes, and you get more dress on you, and we'll come together in this thing. And this is the truth. She'd come out of the bedroom, and she let it out an inch at a time, Jody. And I didn't jump on her and say, why don't you get that down? I said, Janae, that looks so good. It'd be a new crease, you know, where she'd unfold it and let it out a little. I said, that looks so good. I'm so thankful you did that. I appreciate that. It's the truth. I mean, these were good. These were wonderful days in my life. Week or two or a month later, she'd come out and there'd be another inch. She'd undone it again and folded down another inch. I said, oh, that looks so good. I said, you look so good. I appreciate that. Thank you for doing that. A little while later, she'd unfold it again. She just kept on and on until, you know, still above the knee, but she had let out all she had. So we had to start on a new dress. She came to the standards and have lived them ever since. And I so appreciate that. Thank you, Janita. I won't tell you now. I embarrass her. I don't tell this very often because that's kind of bad. But it's good, you know, because we got the victory. Praise God. Got the victory. What are we doing here? What are we doing? What are we doing here, Brother Weinger? Brother Smith? Brother Michael? Hey, amen. We're here to serve God, ain't we? We're here to serve the Lord. Hey, girls. Jody, you holding on, ain't you? Jeff, you keeping her, ain't you? Hey, amen. I gave her to you. Sort of. Good to be in Little Rock today. Thank God for all the good improvements I see all over this place. Keep up the good work. Seem like you're not just taxiing your plane on the runway, but you've got it in the air. Amen. Keep it going. Brother Smith, he may give you some diet over. Well, I've rode with him before. Janita and I was talking about that here a while back. Sister Ann and Brother Smith and Janita and I coming back from Tulsa. Sister Smith told him, said, I don't know what she called him then, Mick or Brother Smith or what. Anyway, she told him, she said, we need to get some fuel. Remember that? He said, we don't need it. Wilburton ain't very far. Hey, I got a steak out of this deal and almost a heart attack. We got down about halfway between Tulsa and Wilburton, and he's a pretty calm guy, but I could see he's watching that thing. He said, I don't know if we can make this or not. Oh God, every one of us in there about had a heart attack. I didn't know what he could do with that plane, but I knew he couldn't fly it without fuel. I did know that. So finally he decided to land it up at the lodge up there. Up by Oatmoggy and Henrietta down at, what is that, Arrowhead Lodge. And they didn't have airplane fuel there, so he had to order it. So while he was waiting, he felt, you know, I think he felt bad for us, so he took us in there and bought us a big steak. Praise God, that was nice. I didn't get steak very often back then. I got a lot of round steak, bologna, but I didn't get much beef steak. We got back in the plane and come home. When we got to Wilburton, he went to land. Was this the same trip or was this another? When you got down the runway and you was afraid it wouldn't land, you decided we'd make another circle. Do you remember that? I remember it. I almost had a heart attack. When you pull up, we crossed 270 Highway out there. I thought you was going to hit those highline wires. And all of us was about to have a heart attack. And he made a circle and came back around and he tried to give us a ride. You did give us a ride. So, you know, he may give you a ride here, but hang in there. It's better to stay in the plane than to jump out. Stay in the boat. Stay in the ship, Paul said. Don't jump overboard. Stay in here. Brother Linegar, he gave people rides like that, didn't he? I remember Brother Lonnie Richard telling about riding with Brother Leninger. He just nearly died, nearly had a... And several others. Sister Leninger almost did too. And this was... So we may go on some, you know, we may take some pretty good rides in here, folks. I've been on some pretty wild adventures in this thing. That's right. Some of them I didn't know if we was going to pull out of the spin or not, but we did. Because I believe God's got his hand on this people. I believe God will see us through this, don't you? I believe we're going to make it all the way. That's my faith. I love you and appreciate you. Good to be in the house of the Lord today.
To listen to Brother Sutton a long time. And it just brought back a lot of memories. Can you tell they're related? And the fun we've always had. But I really enjoyed the message today from both the cousins. And Brother Sutmiller and Brother Smith. I still today, Brother Sutmiller, am so thankful that you prayed for your family. And it didn't stop with your brothers and your sisters. I am so thankful for the day we went up there to hold a revival for Brother Sutmiller. I'm so thankful. You know, Sister Janita got up and Sister Sutmiller got up to play that piano, there's something I felt that I never felt before. And I am an emotional person. My husband is emotional and intellect. I'm just emotional. And he was not just enjoying what he's feeling, but he was enjoying what he was hearing, because they've been discussing the Bible before we came to. Let me go back a little bit further. We were in church, and they weren't. And I felt so sorry for Sister Janita. She was a sweet little Baptist girl. And I didn't know them that well. But when they got saved and they got in the Tulsa church, I was so excited that I thought, oh, God. And the first time we got together and I just thought, they just don't know. They don't have to do all that. I mean, God, you don't have to do that. You know, and I felt so sorry for them. And when we went to Wilburton and I felt that covering, and I felt that spirit, and I saw the standard, I did not like it, but I didn't balk it. I didn't cut it. I liked what I felt. Then I started liking what I heard. I started hearing things, and I started liking what I felt, and I started liking what that Holy Ghost, and then I knew that's why they dressed the way they dressed. It was because the world was out of their life, and I loved the messages, and I loved what I felt. And I'll never, it's like you want to hang on to what you first felt, but you want to go on. And lately, Brother Sutmiller, I was 29 years old when I walked through those doors, and I turned 60 this year. And I know I don't look any older, but I was a little shyer then. But I was thinking, I've known people who never change. And I say, oh, they've been like that for 30 years, 40 years, 60 years. They're never going to change. I want to change. I want to go on. If the Lord allows me 20 more years, I want to be closer. If he allows me one more year, I want to be go on. And I know young people say, well, you're older. I'm telling you, this world has nothing it can offer. And if you'll play around with it, it'll suck you right out of here. And you might not make it back. And if you do, you'll have a lot of scars. And I appreciate this message. I appreciate it. And lately, my desire's stronger than it's been. It's just getting stronger. It's getting stronger. The material, you know, I was talking to Sister Durham this morning. We was thinking about the trials we went through when we were younger. And some of the things we're going through now. And right now, when you go through a trial, it's like, you know God's going to meet it. You know it. You've been there. You've done that. You know he's there. You know he's real. You know what God can do for you. And I appreciate today. I appreciate this gathering of God's people. And when Brother Sutmiller, when Brother Smith, you see one, you see the other. When Brother Smith said something about moving to Little Rock, he said God was dealing with him. I started bawling because I thought we were going to leave the people in the Republic. I couldn't see God's, I couldn't see how God was going to do that. I couldn't see my son giving up his business. I thought I was going to have to leave everybody. And you get settled. You might not get settled on material things, but you'll get settled on something. And I'm so glad. I was talking, giving a lot of ladies' meetings about getting out of your box and how you're getting in your cubbyhole and going, you know, when you first come to body. You remember Brother Sutmiller? When we first started our churches, we were like one little tight family. We're there all the time together. And then everybody, after a while, everybody's doing their own thing. And you visit on Sunday and maybe go over somebody's house during the week. And I said, we're getting in our little cubbyhole. We got to get out of our box. And I was just talking to the women and how we got to fellowship more and how this world is too busy and we need to be more united and more holy women. And then the Lord just yanked me right out of my box, right out of my comfort zone and put me here in Little Rock. And, you know, God put a desire in my heart to be here and a love and appreciation. That doesn't matter where you live. It's whether you're serving God and you're doing God's will. And it doesn't matter what kind of home you're in. It doesn't matter how many nice things you have, because when you die, your kids are going to put them in a garage sale. And you ain't going, you know, they don't mean nothing to them. You might be planning on leaving them something, but I'm spending them their inheritance. Because, no. And I am thankful, Brother Sutmiller. I am thankful because my son, on my deathbed, that I praise God, ask God to let me live to raise, is still in church. And his kids are in charge. And I praise God for that. But I so much enjoyed hearing Brother Sutmiller Day and Brother Smith. Because we used to go down there and they used to, they'd come to Texas and they do, what do you call it? Double headers? And hours go by and you just enjoyed it. And it just felt good to watch them both today. I'm just reminiscing and I love Brother and Sister Sutmiller and their family. It's just time has, we got too busy. We need to get together as a family, not just as a family of God, but as a family. And the first time I went to the Sutmillers, it scared me to death. They were huggy, and they touched me, and they were patting me, and they were, oh! And they were loud, and I thought, Brother Smith been telling me about me meeting his favorite uncle. And when I went down there, I said, why in the world is this man your favorite uncle? This is your favorite family? Of all your family, this is the Sutmillers? What's the rest of them like? And you know what? They were my favorite too after a while, because they have a lot of love, a lot of love. And I'll never forget how patient Brother Sutmiller was with me. I came in there, I had long hair, didn't I, Brother Sutmiller? And long earrings and short sleeves and attitude. And one time I remember we went to a meeting and I was talking about something. He said, you need to be careful what you say. Somebody's going to start casting some devils out of you if you're not careful. You need to watch what you say to certain people. And I said, Brother Sutmiller, I'm really trying to fit and blend. And I have this deal. My eyes blink a lot. And the tireder I get, the more they blink. And I don't even know they're blinking. So I told Brother Sutmiller, I said, I'm real kind of friendly and I'm kind of out there. You don't think people think I'm flirting, do you? And he looked at me. He said, well, Sister Smith, if you'll keep both of your eyes blinking, batting, you're going to be okay. But if you get one of them going, you're in trouble. And I thought, Yeah, you did. And so I just kept both of them going. No. But I remember those times and the patience that he had and the patience my husband had with me, because I told him the first meeting we went to, I said, he goes, what'd you think? I said, I loved it, especially when Brother Souders got up. And I said, but I'm not wearing one of those uniforms. He said, what uniform? I said, you know, those uniforms those women wear and those hairdos. I said, I'll go for everything else, but that's out. But it wasn't long. I conformed. But but I just appreciate God's love and his mercy. And his love and his mercy for you, that he brought you this way and to let you be a light. I want to say one more thing about being a light. When I was growing up, and I think that's why I was afraid of Brother and Sister Seltmiller, going up there, I grew up in an ungodly home, and I walked 2 to 3 miles to Baptist church by myself when I was just a little girl. And none of the Pentecostal people ever reached out to me. They looked down on me because of where I came from. And I said, I'll never be Pentecostal. I'll be Baptist, but I'll never be Pentecostal. Because they never smiled and they never reached out me with love. And every time I go somewhere, if I forget, I walk right back in the store and smile. That when I see them, I want them to let them know I have got something down in here, down in my heart, that makes me want to walk and show them Christ. And we can get so caught up of being fearful that we don't let them know that we love them. And that we can, that we don't dress like this because we want to be self-righteous. We dress like this because it's pleasing to our Jesus. And I told a lady one time, she got on to me. She was raking me over the coals about my standard and how I, you know, she used to look like me. And she would, I mean, she was letting me have it. And I said, you know, sis, she said, but God set me free. And I said, no, God set me free. God set me free one day. The world told me how to dress, and he told me how to act. And I had quite a little devil in me. And I said, but Jesus sets me free, and I only have to please him. That's the only person I have to please. And if I please him, I'll please my husband, and I'll please the people of God. And I just appreciate this joy that I feel today and this messages that I've heard.
Better. Oh,
Brother Tidwell would like to say something. Be glad for him too. Still got a little time here.
Can we say praise the Lord? Can we say praise the Lord again? I just want to say, I give honor to God because He is the head of my life. I've heard so much beautiful words spoken today. I can't really add anything to what's been already said, but I can say what's on my heart. Praise God. I thank God for this fellowship. I came with Brother Troy, praise God. He and I hooked up together a few months ago. You talking about a brother. I never met anyone quite like him. Praise God. You know, I was listening to the pastor preach, and Brother Ear came behind him. My heart, brothers and sisters, is God bringing the body of Christ together as one. And every message that I preach at home pretty much has something that is entwined with oneness. I'm not going to preach, praise God. I just thank the Lord for my wife. Praise God. Brothers was talking about their wives. Brother that was speaking of his wife. I want to say something pertaining to marriage and wives. I go according to the marriage vow. The vow said what God has joined together. I want you to watch that closely. It says, what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And I know without a shadow of doubt, these many marriages have come together. God didn't put them together. Y'all don't have to say amen, but that's all right. I know that for a fact. Why would you stand up? You that don't know that she's my wife, that's my lovely wife. Praise God. I met her when she was 10 years old. I was 13 years old. Right over in Martree, Arkansas. Y'all don't know nothing about that down here in Little Rock. Brother here, he know what Martree, praise God. Little old one horse town, praise God. You can start through there, and before you can bat an eye, you're through already. But nevertheless, I found her there, praise God, in 1950-something. But nevertheless, we got married in 1958. I was 20 and she was 17. And we've been married ever since. Which means what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. I was determined, brother preacher, praise God, to make my marriage work. I was determined because I loved her. See, I believe in my heart that love says it all. I often talk about the first and the greatest commandment of God, where he says, love the Lord thou God with all of your heart, soul, mind, and strength. I was sharing this with Brother Troy the other day. I believe that if you give God all of that, you don't have anything left. Amen. You don't have anything you withholding from God because you was giving him your all. That's what I call a total surrender. Amen. When you totally surrender your life to God, God, you can have God's favors upon your life. Praise God. I'm not going to get up here and be before y'all long ago. It'll be time to go in a minute, but I all these long-winded preachers, my wife tells me sometimes I get carried away. But I just want to share this with you. I love my wife. We got 5 beautiful kids. I believe it's 19, 20. Which one is it? 18 or 19 grandkids. And I believe it's 18 or 19 great-grandkids. Praise God. The Lord has been good to me, brothers. God has been good to me, and I don't have no other reason, no other intentions than to be good to God. See, we have to be good to God, brothers. It ain't always about how good God is to us. We got to turn that favor and be good to God. I heard brothers talking about coming to church. I heard the scripture saying, Psalm David said, I was glad when I heard him say unto me, let us go into the house of the Lord. Brother, that is powerful. When you have a mind, made up mind, you can't wait on Wednesday night to get the Bible study. I work an 8-hour day job every day. Praise God. Got that little old church over there. The Lord called me to pastor. 3 or 4 folks, praise God. I told the folks over there I'm going to preach if I was a preacher to the pews. Y'all hear what I'm saying? God told me to preach. If I was to preach to the pews, no nobody be there but me, God, and the pews, I'm gonna preach. And matter of fact, I did that a couple Sunday mornings. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Wasn't nobody there but me, God, and the pews. And I squalled out just like the pews was full. What am I saying? I'm saying God told me to preach. Amen. See, when we got to choose what we do for God, then that don't go over so well with God. You got to be led by the Spirit of God. Be obedient to God. And that's what I intend to fulfill so I can continue God's favors upon my life. Brothers, it means something to have God's favors upon your life. Brother quoted my scripture. Brother M was talking about it way before we ever got up to preach. David, what David said in Psalms 133:1. He said, behold how good and how pleasant it is for brothers to dwell together in unity. Brother, this is what we're doing right now. All praise the name. It's nothing like the power of God bringing men together. Seeking God's face, laying on our face before God with one mind, one spirit, one objective, and that is to please God. And the devil knows that, brothers. He don't want us to come together in unity. He don't want us to come together because if we unite together, we will become one. And the devil knows that. See, and that's why he cared to keep us divided. Keep us all running over here and running over there and doing this and doing that. But when we come together, learning from each other, fellowshipping with each other, eating from the same, hallelujah, eating from the same table, praise the name of the Lord, the devil, he gets shaken in his boots because he knows his trouble on the way. Praise God. And that's my prayer, that God will bring the men together. And I'm telling you, brothers, if we come together, the family will follow. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Folks' families all broke up and torn apart simply because we're not working together. God is not the head of our lives. God has got to become the head of our lives. Then we can become the head of our families. So many men want to be the head of their families, but they don't want God to be the head of their lives. And it ain't gonna work. Y'all hear what I'm saying? is not going to work. God's got to be the head of your life. Then you can become the head of your family. We want our children to obey us and be subject to us, our wives. I heard preaching here talking about his wife earlier, praise God. It's kind of hard for the women to be subject to us when we are not subject to God. Y'all hear what I'm saying? Y'all hear what I'm saying? Women's trying to figure out which way to go and what to do, say they pull, they're torn between you and God. Don't think women don't have some God in them. Y'all getting quiet on me. I better sit down. Women is full of God. Holy Ghost filled women. Praise God. All through the scriptures, women work faithful to the things of God. Sometimes they had to bail the men out. Praise God. Y'all be steadfast in the word of God, women. Be steadfast in the word of God. Be steadfast in the things of God. But love your husbands. Praise God. But love God more. Don't y'all get mad at me because I'm telling your wives to love God more. Because if they love God, you won't have no problem with them loving you. Amen. And I thank God for a saved wife. Holy Ghost filled wife. I don't have no problem with my wife. Except sometimes... She come around with them honeydews, you know what I mean? You brothers don't have that problem with y'all's wife, do you? Honey, do this. Honey, I want that. Honey, I want this done. But I can handle that. Amen? You love her in spite. And back to the church, pastors and brothers. God spoke to me here a little while back about the congregation, the church. He told me, he said, love them right where they are. Love the people right where they are. Don't go trying to take them to another level. You'll destroy them totally. Because if they ain't operating fully where they are, being faithful to God and the things of God where they are, if you move them up, they sure enough going to be messed up. They don't know what they're doing here. They ain't stable here. They're not prepared to operate here. Now you're going to move them up some way. You know what I mean? You take them out of themselves. God don't deal with none of us above our ability to understand. Am I right, brothers? God don't take us somewhere where we don't know. Praise God. And if he do, he's there with you to assist you, to show you, to lead you, to guide you. I remember when God brought me from Wisconsin to Arkansas, Batesville, Arkansas. I never heard of it before in my life. God told me to get rid of everything I had up there in Wisconsin. Man, we had just built a big old church. Brother, I'm going to sit down. Built a big old church with seat about 2,000 people. Huge. Praise God. I was a big part of that ministry. They had a prison ministry, nursing home ministry, assistant superintendent of Sunday school. We had a nice home. I just retired from Chrysler, praise God. Brother, I was getting ready to leave. Amen. The Lord said, no, not yet. Told me to get rid of everything, move to Arkansas. I said, Lord, I don't want to go down there. It's hot down there. All that heat. All them bugs and things flying around there, man. I don't want to go down there. Praise God. The Lord spoke in my spirit. He said, if you obey me, I'll bless you. He spoke it three times. The third time, I heard what he said. The third time, I accepted what he said. But I was afraid to take that message that God had gave me to my wife. Brother was talking about fear a while ago. I was full of fear when it comes to taking that message. to my wife because I knew she wasn't going to accept that too good. Oh, praise God. Brother, it's hard to pull a wife or a woman away from her kids and her grandkids. That's the biggest part of her comfort zone. And I hesitated to go and share it with her. I prayed and I prayed and I prayed and I prayed, brothers. I did this for a year. Y'all hear what I'm saying? I kept that within me and God for a whole year, and I'm praying every day, Lord, help me. Lord, give me strength. Praise God. And finally, at the end of a year, and probably a little later, I went to my wife and I told her. And she answered me the same way that I knew she was going to answer. She said, no, God told you to go. He didn't tell me. No way am I going to give up my home and my children. Praise God. My grandchildren, everything we done worked for all these years. Said, man, you just retired from Chrysler. We just built a new church over here. We didn't build it, but the congregation, you know. And we was a big party. Man, we was getting ready to really ministry. She said, no, you go ahead. I'm not going down there. And all them red bugs and ticks and all that heat down there, man, and dirt and dust. She was used to the asphalt on there, you know. She wasn't used to no gravel road and the clay dirt flying, you know. Man, you get in your comfort zone. And it's hard to be pulled out of that comfort zone. But God can do it. Praise God. I went back to God. I said, God, she said she ain't going. I said, I know you don't come between husband and wife. I know you don't do that. That's my wife. What am I supposed to do? Am I supposed to just pack up and leave her behind? I was talking to God, brother. I was really talking to her. The Lord spoke to me and said, nope. He said, don't worry about it. I'll take care of it. When the Lord spoke that in my spirit, saints, it looked like this building was lifted off my shoulders. I was free. God had spoke. Y'all hear what I'm saying? When God speak, people say, men listen. But when God speak, people listen. Women, men, girls, boys, everybody listen when God speak. And when God spoke, praise God. He went to her within 1 week. 1 week, she come back to me and she said, honey, I said, yeah. She said, you said that God wanted us to move to Arkansas. I said, yeah. She said, I'm ready. Just like that. She said, I'm ready. We went out the next week and put our house up for sale. Houses all around in the community had been up for months for sale. We put ours up on Monday. Wednesday the next week, folks was coming out looking for it, looking at it. And the first couple came up and looked at it, bought it. Bought it out among us, and we didn't have nowhere to stay. Oh, my God. I started scratching my head. I said, Lord, what am I supposed to do now? We had tried to make arrangements down there in Baysville to try to get our house and stuff. We had put on, $5,000, whatever it was, down on the house. And the folk called us back in Wisconsin, told us, say, y'all can't buy that house. So what do you mean we can't buy it? We got our money down on it. But that was what God wanted us. I'm telling you, people, listen to God. He that have an ear, let him hear what the Spirit is saying. God will speak to you if you have an ear to hear. Amen. But nevertheless, God brought us to Baysville. And he brought us there together. And we started in a ministry there. And our influence in that ministry really enhanced that ministry. and the ministry began to flourish and grow. But after it was all said and done, God taken us out of that ministry and we started our own ministry. And that's where we are today. What I'm saying, we still is together. We didn't fall out, split up through hostility and anger and all this old foolishness. God know where he want to put you. And all you got to do is have a ear to hear and listen to what God have for you. And if you obey God, men, women, if you obey God, God will bless your life. You will have God's favors upon your life. Brother Pastor, keep preaching the gospel. You ain't going to please everybody. Sometimes you can't even please yourself. Praise the name of the Lord, but please God. That's who we want to please. I just thank the Lord for this opportunity to come and testify before you all. I really enjoyed this fellowship. Brothers, you preachers, pastors, keep preaching the gospel. Don't matter what come against you. Keep preaching the gospel. Preach the word of God. Uncompromised gospel. Don't compromise God's word for your wife, for your children, for nobody. Preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. Paul said, if any come preaching any other gospel other than this, let him be accursed. God bless you, brother pastor. Thank you for the opportunity.
My life, this is what I live for. Just to be with God's people in His arms. Just to be a part of what He's doing.
You can be seated for just a minute. This has been good. And, appreciate everyone that came. We know a lot of you drove and sacrificed time. I feel like it was well worth it. Every time I get where God's Spirit begins to work, I feel like I'm where I ought to be. And I appreciate the good words we've heard today. And take them home with you. Meditate on them. Bring them back up. And I think I was just mentioning here recently that if we're not careful, we'll try to work our situations in our life out without including God. And we can't do that, not be a part of His kingdom. We've got to get Him included. All right. Brother Brett Weiniger is going to drive a van out there. Those of you that feel like you need to not try to go up and down those stairs. Brother Brett, if you'd go ahead and do that, get out there, they'll come out there. And then those of you that are that think you can make it down the stairs but you need a little extra time, why don't you go ahead and start that way here, and just any time you can go ahead and be dismissed down. We'll pray for your dinner while you're on your way down. We'll make sure it gets covered. Amen. All right, you feel like you've been to church?
Amen.
If you don't, your feeler's broke. Why don't we all stand right here and ask, thank God for this good day and the good Spirit of the Lord that we felt and the good Word of God. And thank Him for the food we're about to partake. It's good to see Brother Durham come in. Sister Terry Durham, his daughter-in-law, come in there with him. Appreciate him. They'll stay over and be tomorrow with us, I'm sure. All right. Sister Wilkins, you want to go on down? You can walk with the fastest of us. All right. Many of you feel like you need to. Our seniors, we try to honor them, get them downstairs first. Let's give God a praise. Thank Him for the food, too, and the fellowship we're about to partake. Thank You, Lord, God, for Your goodness, Your good mercy. Oh, God, we love You, Lord. Thank You for the body of Christ, the teachings and the principles that You've laid in our lives, oh, God. Help us, Lord. God, go with these assemblies, these pastors and ministers. Work and help them, oh God. Touch and help their people, Jesus. Raise up a people, oh God, that can reach out and harvest this world. Thank You, Lord, for the food and the fellowship we're about to partake. We give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen, amen. All right, if the ministry go on, if your wives would come down, we'll go right down these stairs.